Hello and welcome to 158 of the Talking Wednesday podcast. It's James and Jake for you this week to talk all things Sheffield Wednesday. We are still alive. Yep. We're still there. We're still fighting. It's I was a little bit worried yesterday to time of recording this podcast when Huddersfield went 1-0 up and then West Brom actually decided to play like a side in the top six. And
I send you very explicit messages
put that there.
On Messenger going,
Well, me and Soph were out shopping and she went, I don't want to tell you that, because she gets football notifications on her phone, probably because she checks the score for me so often now. She was like, Huddersfield are 1-0 up, and I was like, oh, no.
Were you crashing your shopping exactly cart into things?
Yeah, it wasn't ideal, but there we are. It didn't win. We'll talk about all that as we go on, but we've got to start the podcast as we always do, Jake. How has your week been, my friend?
Good, up until after the match that I went to, thanks to Jack taking me. I made a really good call, but bad call. Jack went in my carer, and he did a fantastic job looking after me, making sure I was good. And for anyone that saw us and spoke about the podcast and spoke about stuff,
I thought that would have been the bad call, to be honest. Jack as a carer.
I kept on making that joke to people.
Really?
I think
really?
To be fair, he had to be good.
Could he care for himself?
To be fair, he had to be good. He cared simply of my wife.
That's true.
To be fair, he had to be really good, because if I came back with anything, she would have definitely, possibly punched him in the face.
He's scared of both of our partners because they won't put up with his crap.
It's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. Anyway.
It was good. I died a little bit afterwards. We've worked out that my F&D can only do 3-day weeks. I seem to always crash on a Thursday and then go back again. It's really odd situation, but it was good. It was good going to the game. It was nice to be able to be in the atmosphere for a bit. And when I do go to games, normally I go with my other half, but now we've got a young un. Can't really do that, and I'm not taking a 2-month-old to a Wednesday game yet. Too young for me. Won't understand it. I would have to put ear defenders on, and then having to try and look after the 6-year-old at the same time would be even harder. But
it's not ideal. Jake, it's one of the things, you're in a situation where it's going to be difficult for you. You need to go as a family. You need to go all of you, because if you want to do that, let me know and we'll cook. Cause it's a case of like, if both your partner and I'm going and that sort of thing, then the kids are kept an eye on, and also somebody's there to keep an eye on you at the same time.
It's like second half, I really struggled. It's like, I think what a lot of people don't understand with it is, for me, spending that kind of money, I was so grateful they didn't have the light show. I went with sunglasses, I was ready. Yeah. There were so many people who knew me who were just looking over to go, is he going to? No, because they didn't do it. And I was so grateful they didn't. If I went to Leeds, I would have had to go out in the concourse while the light show happened and then come back.
I was worried about it straight away. I was like, why are you going to a midweek game? Like, the light shows are a thing.
Luckily. And I'll show you when you come on Saturday. My sunglasses are like really, really dark tinted. It's like I'm blind. And also, we have a new face back here. We've got new setup, so that should be perfect for when we do the podcast this time. It won't look as bad on the sofa we did.
We're going to dumb it down a little bit as well, because I used to do multi-camera setups, but it's a case of our cameras are so different that it'd take me a while to actually prep it properly, whereas we don't usually have time to do that, so I'll probably just do a static camera setup.
Yeah, I think the thing is that I'm looking forward to the setup for how we set it up and stuff, like, because as we've always said, I've got all the gear. I am the gear man when it comes to this stuff, because I know one day, you know when you see those Facebook stuff where you've got the bloke who's got that one bit of scrap piece of wood and he's had it since like 1980 and he's never ever used it for it, and then suddenly needs it. That's me with gear.
Mm. I remember there was a case of like last summer I'd come round and I'd just bought an aircon unit.
Yeah.
And I was like, and we'd needed like, the thing on the back was really crap on the one we bought. And you had a really like industrial hose, like pipe thing that I can't remember the name for it. But it's a case of, you know, the one that attached to the back of an air conditioning unit, yeah, just in your garden. And I was like, are you using this? And you were like, I was going to use it one day in the next 5 years. You can have it if you want.
Yeah, I have turned into that dad. I have turned into that dad.
It was very useful. It's a case of...
To be fair, we're in a kind of privileged position because this podcast is all over the place because of where we all based. In terms of that sense, we're not all in one set location. So me actually having somewhere we can actually record was a godsend last time. And it's a godsend this time because it's just somewhere where it's just purpose is this. It's like my own little base for me. But I've always wanted it where we can do more in-person stuff and make it look better in person. And I think that just fits the tone nicely. But it was a good week. It was good.
The podcast, by the way, the podcast might be really short next week because I don't think I will put the whole episode, the sort of in-person celebration episode together. I don't think I'll put that together in time for next week's podcast. I think we will have a segment from that, which will be next week's podcast. So it might be shorter next week. Then you'll get the proper podcast probably the following week. I reckon that'll probably line up quite nicely. Actually, I reckon 160 will be the episode. 159 will be
the pod.
Just a normal update, general news pod. Because the way we're structuring the day of recording, we are doing things slightly different.
Fair, Toast's
not coming this time, so it's just us lot. Toast's going to help us out virtually.
But, yeah. To be fair. That works out quite well because that helps because the following week is international break anyway.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to have that. How's your week been, mate?
It's been, I know it's cliche, but it has been really busy this week. And it's not going to get easier this week is absolutely going to be chocker. I'm not really going to breathe much. This coming week. So I'm in that anxiety anticipation phase of knowing what's about to come and just being like, oh no.
Yeah.
But it's last week. Yeah. It was quite tricky. I've become an old man because I was like, I've got chest pain. Like, and I was like, well, it's not like on my heart side or anything, but I had like, I was like, why is my chest hurting? It was hurting for a couple of days, but it was like a muscle thing.
Yeah.
And then I was at work and I bent down properly to lift something, pulled something up, and I felt like my entire pec, the entire side of my body, and underneath my shoulder blade at the back, just like I'd been shot.
Oh, it was like, over.
And then
this is really funny.
So,
because Jack hurt himself going out on his shoulder, apparently he went arse over and landed on his shoulder, and like he really hurt his shoulder. You hurt your shoulder and pec, and I hurt my shoulders anyway because I fall over. Stop, lads. I'm going to take this with you. You don't want my disability. Don't take it. It's not fun.
But I was like, I was putting some stuff back in my car and lifting it into my car, and I was like, I need to sit for a sec because I was in so much pain that I was like, I think I'm, because, and Seth was like, if you just pulled a muscle, and I was like, it feels much worse than that, you know? And I was like, because it just shot down the entire side of my body. And I was like, oh, this is not, but it wasn't like stroke or anything like that. It wasn't that. I knew it was like it was a muscle thing, but it had stemmed. And because now I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I've not got the pain in my chest anymore either, but it had gone from that pain in the chest. It was like something was trapped in there. And then when I moved in that way, it just shot it out across the side of my body. And now it's gone because, and now I'm very, very careful. Every morning I'm rotating my shoulders and stuff.
That's not good. Your warranty is meant to like end at 30 and it goes downhill.
I know. Well, the thing is, right, for the last 2 years as well, on like every, like, at least on the weekend, I've been doing some form of performance, which has involved like a full on like warm up. So I don't, I've not seized for the last 2 years. So when I've stopped that, like my body's seizing a little bit more.
You might need
to. So I need to actually keep the same level. I basically just need to do what I used to do. Yeah. I used to like Yeah, because I've been, the more you sit, the more you stop moving. Even when you exercise, because when I exercise, they're more repeated routines. Yeah, I just need to stretch. I'm saying that if you are over 25, stretch every day, guys. Yeah. Okay, because otherwise you'll start to click, and it's not fun.
No, it's not. It's not fun at all.
But yeah, other than that, it's been all right. It's nothing too eventful. I streamed twice, so it felt like I didn't stop as well.
You did.
One win and one loss, unfortunately, but we'll talk about that first one. So you were at the Plymouth game. Talk us through this, Jake.
It was a good game. We played well, but the annoying thing was is every second ball in the first half, we just couldn't get near. We knock it down and there was no one close enough to really win those second balls. And you're like, that's something I've noticed recently. Second ball, we're really struggling to get that net man. And I think it could be tired. I think it because of the squad was shattered with how much pressing we do. And we did have the ball in the back of the net and we all in the stadium couldn't understand why it got ruled offside. I've seen it back and I'm still not 100% sure it's offside. I'll be honest with you. But what showed me was how much Pervader is so crucial in our system now and how we play. And the more you see him get into game, the more you see he's just a bag of tricks. He really just gets going. He knows where people are now as well. You know where you see that like understanding where certain players are? I think for the first little bit, we struggled to know he knew where his place was. And the way we played was really smart, but you could tell Danny was getting more and more angry as the game went on.
Like, yeah, well, it's one of those things that the offside, the more I've looked at it, I was like, he's probably in line. But it's the only thing I saw, even on the replay, I was like, does he play the ball? When he plays the ball, is Pervaders slightly in front of the ball, is played slightly forward? It's more of a case of, was the ball played forwards rather than backwards? And that was my only question of it. But the thing that griped me with it was the linesman wasn't in line. So even if, like...
The lineman, when he was doing it, he was doing a full on, when he was doing his workout, he was doing a full on legs in the air, kind of doing the usual stuff, stretching. He was still in our half when the goal went in. He hadn't even crossed the line yet to get to the second, like to the other half. It's like, how can you?
He was just too, he was too slow. Yeah. It was a guess. And that's the thing. It's one of those things that luckily we invited pressure at the end as well. So that could have ended 1-1. Yeah. And then you end up with a situation where you've dropped vital points.
Yeah.
Isama's goal half, obviously though, we really means that we didn't up. End up in that situation.
We did pick up and we tried to get things. I think Ugbo's just tenacity to get that ball for the goal was fantastic because that was right in front of us. And he could tell the player just that didn't have him. He just didn't have him at all. And he just won him. Got it, got ball, got it in, and it was a really good goal. And I think you saw a bit when Johnson went for his chance. If he didn't lift it and side-footed it, it's 2-0, and he wouldn't have invited all that pressure. But Danny was going apoplectic on the touchline. He was screaming, he was shouting, he was pointing at people on the bench going, no, this is what we need to do. Everybody, watching Danny was interesting because he gets everybody up to have a say. Out the coaching staff to find out what's going on, what could we do differently. And I think it's that level of detail I like. He doesn't just go, it's on me. He'll use his people who are with him. You know what I mean? And I think that's the level of detail I like a lot. And there was one bit, and it's funny with the assistant, Pervader was really, really blowing. And he went to like do a throw-in and then gave it Volks. And he literally turned around to the linesman and said, why are you blowing? Kind of thing. And it was just really funny. Like, I know why I'm blowing, but why are you? And you could tell he knew it was the lineman that didn't give his goal. As kind of thing. Yeah. But every time there was a chant, he was doing the get the fans up. Barry Bannon going off at half time was a bit worrying. It did look like you kind of heard it in the stadium. But it did look like when we first saw it and we heard that he wasn't coming out, we thought he might have broke his nose. not concussion. We thought it might have been a broken nose.
Oh, right, okay.
With it, just the way he was holding himself. Luckily, it wasn't. But we got 3 points, which was fantastic. But again, it was a refereeing. The referee made it very stop-start. It wasn't a game that flowed. And it's annoying because I think if that game flowed, it would have gone into our wheelhouse other than Plymouth.
Yeah. And then you've got a match on Friday, which we weren't expected to get anything out of, which is really important. And I was saying that at the time, but there was a chance that we could. We weren't terrible. We just didn't finish our dinner, which is what you need to. And we missed Pervader against Leeds. So talk us through that one.
Leeds was interesting. Cause I think for the first 45 minutes, we were very good at times. We played well. We just weren't clinical enough. And we were lucky with when they did break, we had the offside trap just right. Both the league keeper and Beadle made some crucial saves. That, especially that one from Gatherman, was how he got on the end of that to save it, I don't know.
That was fantastic.
But it was fantastic keeping. And you say, I always listen to some other podcasts, like other teams and stuff and stuff, and they'll always like give opposition goalkeeper the disservice. If it's a good save, I will say it's a good save. But Beadle did the same the other end. But the problem is, when they scored, and granted, it was 45 minutes over the 5 minutes. I don't see where the extra came from unless there was a player down and he just added it. Their goal came from another back post. And I hate to say it, it's Akin. Every time, it's Akin for Maywell.
It's Akin, and it's also the fact that we don't have cover because Johnson's higher up the pitch.
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations where you've seen in the we've conceded at that post many times because there's just not the player there. And no. I will say, Akin's read of the game in those situations, we do just leave so much space at that back post. So it's all slow. They've got. So many players this season have just had a free chance of scoring, and Bamford didn't need any invitation there.
No.
So. It was one of those things when that went in, the time it went in, I was like, this is done now because it kills that momentum on the spin of half time. And they came out even tougher.
The second goal again, it was again another Firmino situation. He was ball watching. He was ball watching and left him all that space. We said for many, many years the left hand side is our biggest problem. And it has been.
We're in that situation now, though, where we've got we need to rest players because they're going to be knackered. So it's a case of Weckway probably would have been the starter, you know. I thought Bambo played really well.
Yeah, I did. I saw some people saying Bambo played badly, but I actually thought he played very smartly. There was some very crucial.
It wasn't Bambo. Bambo actually was very. I was worried when he was announced. Don't get me wrong, because he's got a mistake in him, but I don't think he really put too much of a foot wrong. And I think it was Akin's defensive reading of the game that cost us there. So
I still think there's a player there,
but it's a case of I do see some defensive frailties in his positioning down that side.
There's a player there, but I don't know how much Danny can teach it now.
I wouldn't put anything past the situation, to be fair, because Akin's not that old either. He's 23, 24?
Yeah. I think it would be interesting to see what a Sheffield Wednesday team with, say, a Delgado would have been under Danny, because I think it would be interesting because he played a little bit like left, right back role at the start of the season and we were conceding a little bit then. I think it's one of those things that during the international break, it wouldn't surprise me if Danny sits him down with a couple of tapes and goes, look, this is where we're doing. And the thing is, now we've got an analyst on the pitch in the dugout, I think he'll bring it up a lot more and people will drag him to the side and go, look, this is where we need to improve. And he will get it eventually. And I hope he does, because I think he's a good player when he gets going. But the problem is, we just held on and hope it... I came into this hoping for not a cricket score. The problem is the four games that we've won before this, we were doing okay. We haven't really scored a lot, but we were doing better damage on our goal difference. The goal difference now don't mean nothing after those games because they're 2-0 off, which is annoying.
Yeah, However, Huddersfield getting a 4-1 loss has dragged things down a little bit in that regard. We'll talk about all of that in a second. I will say after this, I see Wednesday giving a fight to anybody. It's like we've got Ipswich, obviously, and I see us with an opportunity of getting something out of it. It's going to be really difficult, but the way we play and the belief behind this team, I'm in a situation where I could see us play anyone and get something out of a game.
Not a Wednesday team that we've seen in a while with the fight. And the thing is, I think a lot of that team are still teams that were part of the Wembley miracle, know that anything can happen. And I think they're trying to use that mentality, never write us off, because it's the worst thing you can do. Because I think they've all got that mental strength and there's no one putting tools down.
Iniki Ugbo is an absolutely fantastic player.
His movement off the ball is what you don't see when he got it. He opened face.
Do you know what was weird against Leeds? Or was it Plymouth? One of them, because I remember saying it. There was one of the games, and it might have been Leeds, where he was playing with his back to goal, and that didn't suit him. It was like he was doing a different role. And I was like, that's weird. He's not been doing that. And all of a sudden, he's playing with his back to goal, and he's not been as effective. And I think that was probably Leeds. Or was it Plymouth? One of those he was playing.
It was because
he was like he was playing with his back to goal and trying to turn it. It was a case because whereas he's usually benefited from the crosses coming in, you know, but it was a bit weird to see him do it. And then we brought Smith on, who does play with his back to goal in that regard.
I think Smith needs to play with the thing is when we brought Bailey on at Plymouth, I could see it, but Bailey needs someone at the side of him. He can't do it on his own. And this is one of those things where I can understand why Danny wanted just one more striker, just have that option. We don't have that option.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
I think Bailey's good, but you don't want to put it all on his shoulder. And then with this knee injury, he's just coming back. And again, I say it till I'm blue in the face. The player we miss, and I see so much hate for him and say he's rubbish, is Pato. Pato fixed the system so well. He does all the pressing so the other person can just feed off graps. We're missing that kind of player.
Hopefully we'll see. If he comes back before the end of the season, hopefully we'll see a little bit of
like someone give him the best description in one of my comment sections, and I won't say the word, but he said either something house Swiss Army knife, and I love it. And he is.
Yeah.
Because he got that in his locker, and I think... It's going to be interesting to see how his mindset is come next season as well, because him and his partner put on Instagram that he's going to be a dad for the first time, and that sometimes changes players' mindsets. So congratulations to the Pattersons. But it changes the mindset, because I think you look at what Joe Wildsmith doing at Derby a little bit. He got a kid, he wants to show a bit of a legacy, show what he can do. You know what I mean?
You've said that a lot about Wildsmith. That's something that's burned into my brain about legacy and stuff with him having a kid. Right, let's go. Yeah. Such a dad thing to say, isn't it? You'll know when you have kids. Wait for that line. Oh, yeah, right. So the championship review for the mid-game. Coventry 5, Rotherham 0, Hull City 1, Birmingham 1, Blackburn 1, Millwall 1. Leeds 1, Stoke 0, Sunderland 0, Leicester City 1, Wednesday 1, Plymouth 0, Ipswich 3, Bristol City 2, Southampton, that was postponed.
Middlesbrough. There was a fire, if you remember, there was a fire outside the ground.
I saw that.
An industrial unit went kaboom, apparently, so hopefully no one was hurt.
Middlesbrough 3, Norwich City 1, Cardiff 1, Huddersfield 0, Watford 1, Swansea 1, QPR 2, West Brom 2. I really wish QPR had not got a point there. But in terms of the actual other fixtures...
You know, talking of QPR, I found out why Chair can play.
Go on.
I did some digging. So in the law in Belgium, you are allowed to continue your job, whatever it is, if you're appealing your case. So because he's appealing his case, he's allowed to carry on playing football because he's putting an appeal in. There's a case in Spain where one of the players is done for something. I'm not going to say the word because YouTube doesn't like it. But he's 2 years into his case. and it still not be appealed, that's why you can play, because it's a different law over there. If you're appealing your case, you can carry on.
So basically, if it's tied up in paperwork, he could be playing for ages. Right, yep. Okay. Let's move on to the weekend fixtures. So Wednesday, 0 Leeds 2, Cardiff 2, Ipswich 1, Hull 2, Leicester 2. Leicester are wobbling. Preston 1, Stoke City 2. That was really annoying.
Preston should have had
that was
penalty.
Really annoying.
Preston should have had a stone wall.
That's even more annoying.
And they apologised to him, and Ryan Lowe at the end of the game said, "I'm expecting an apology on Sunday," and he got one. They should have had a stone wall penalty and didn't get it.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's weird how things like that, because that doesn't affect just Preston or Stoke season. It affects ours massively. Yeah. It's 3 points for them that they wouldn't have had. QPR 0, Middlesbrough 2. That was a good result for us. Yep. Southampton 4, Sunderland 2. Millwall 1, Birmingham 0. I actually don't think that's a bad thing. People are going, oh, why? Why have Millwall? Do you know why? Because Birmingham have got the game in hand. So Millwall... Yeah, exactly. But because Millwall have beat them, it means that Millwall, yes, they've creeped up a little bit, but not too far, and they've still not got easy fixtures. And it's actually, it took out one of those game in hands for Birmingham.
Yep.
Which means that they are still in the pack. Blackburn 1, Plymouth 1 is also fantastic result for us, because it keeps them both scrapping. Norwich 5, Rotherham 0. They conceded 10 goals in a week.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You know what?
Watford 1, Coventry 2. Yeah, I know. Watford 1, Coventry 2. Huddersfield 1, West Brom 4. So as we said, that was a case of... that could have gone very badly when Huddersfield were leading 1-0 at half-time, but West Brom got their act together.
Finally, the thing is with Huddersfield, you look at them and they... You know what the annoying thing about them is? You do know what their next game is?
I did, actually, because I looked at this, but now I can't remember. Now you put me on the spot.
Rotherham.
Oh, yeah. Go on, Rotherham. Can you imagine?
Actually.
It would. Bristol 1, Swansea 0. And then we will move into looking at how that leaves the table. So Leicester are having a wobble. 82 points. They were very clear, but now they're not. Leicester, 79 points in second. Leeds second behind them. So there's a title charge. But so could Ipswich, who are on 78 points. And we've obviously got Ipswich coming up. So they might have just lost. But hopefully they buckle under the pressure of that. That's the hope for Ipswich for us when they play us. Southampton in fourth on 73. West Brom in fifth on 63. Norwich in sixth on 58. At the bottom of the table, Rotherham, rock bottom, minus 47 goal difference with 19 points. Wednesday, second from bottom, 38 points. Huddersfield, joint. Well, technically we're joint 22nd because Huddersfield are on 38 points, but we've got minus 25 goal difference. They've got minus 19. So their goal difference is creeping negatively. We could... If we could start shipping some goals ourselves, that'd be ideal. Yeah. Not shipping some goals, actually scoring some goals. Birmingham, 21st, 39 points. So Wednesday have gone from being level with safety to 1 point off safety, because even though Birmingham have got a game in hand, QPR losing means they're on 39 points as well in 20th. Stoke and Blackburn are on 41 points. And so are Plymouth and Plymouth, all on 41 points. So that's just 3 points ahead of Wednesday. We're 3 points off 17th. Millwall, 43 points. Swansea, 43 points. So it's... we're 5 points off 15th.
Insane.
Yeah, with five, so it's all to play for. Especially when you look at our form, we've just got to make sure we don't dip after this, because it's a case of, if we can actually get a point from the Ipswich game, that's a massive thing to take into the break.
If we can get a point, or if we can actually, like, say Huddersfield, say Rotherham do something against Huddersfield, I doubt it. But say a miracle happens, and it does, and we're out of the relegation zone for the first time in the international break, that could be good for our mental side.
Yes.
It's just so tight.
So we usually do a... Sorry, yeah, carry on.
I think it's so tight. I think you look... The reason why I'm saying Birmingham should be worried, they don't know when Tony Mowbray's coming back. It got said it was 6 to 8 weeks. That's nearly all the season now. And I think...
Yeah, there's nobody from like 14th down is safe.
Well, Watford had just sacked the manager.
Yep. And they've got an interim coach. Tom Cleverley's gone into the interim. He's player coach as interim.
From middle but down, everybody had changed the manager once or twice this season.
Yeah. It's a wild season in that regard.
Yeah.
And we're in with a chance. So it's going to be hard. It is going to be hard because you look at some of the fixtures. We do play a couple of the teams around us, but we also do play a couple of the top half teams. And that's the tricky thing. So we're going to move into the news. We're not going to focus too much at the news. The news isn't like a big thing with a lot of stuff at the minute. We're going to go straight into the accounts. It's the account. On time as well. Yeah. It's like usually they're not out on time, but we're going to actually read from the Stars article who've done the summary. Usually I delve into the accounts myself, but we don't need to this time. We're not going to do that this time. We will read you from the Star article. We'll pick some bits out of it that says as follows. Wages did increase in 22-23 as the Owls pushed and succeeded to win promotion, going from 10.9 million last time to just over 14 million. However, it's substantially less than the 21.1 million they were paying out without social security and pension costs in 2021. Meanwhile, player registrations and amortization, a process of gradually writing off the initial cost of a player over the course of their contract, in the operating loss section fell from 750k to 432k, some way off that 4.7 million that it was previously. There was much good news elsewhere in the document as it was revealed that turnover had once again increased from 16.3 million in 2022 to 19.3 million in 2023, with match receipts and associated counting for over 10.5 million of that in total amount. That's funny, isn't it? It's almost as if Wednesday fans put the money into the club. Wednesday did still make a loss, as is the case with so many football clubs around the world. But the size of that loss decreased once more from 7.3 million to 6.5 million, a long way from the 25.8 million of 2021. The review of the business in the accounts read, and quote, turnover increased by 3 million to 19.3 million, primarily due to increased attendances advancing to the FA Cup fourth round despite our first home game of the season, the 2022-23 season behind being played in the previous financial year, 2021-22, as well as increased retail and match day catering sales. The average league attendance for the 22-23 season was 25,380 compared with the 22,469 for the previous season, an increase of 13%. The first team finished third in the EFL League One and compared to the fourth previous season, as compared to fourth the previous season and achieved promotion back to the Championship via the playoff final at Wembley, watched by over 43,500 Owl supporters. The season had a number of highlights. I don't need to read that bit. The results for the financial year showed a loss after tax of 6.539 million compared to a loss of 7.348 million in the previous year. Net liabilities increased by 6.5 million during the year to 72 million. It says 65 million in brackets for the previous year. So
one of the lines
Sorry, I used a very stern voice there. I didn't mean to. We've got a lag, you see. The increase in net liabilities is attributable to a reduction in debtors as well as a reduction of creditors. So we are still in debt. There is still losses, and we did that whole loss to debt thing, but we are losing less, Jake.
Yeah, here's the line that gets me, the paragraph, right? Based on the financial projections, the company will continue to make an operating loss and an additional funding by the way of working capital loans will be required. The director concluded that the adequate finance results are all available to him to ensure that the company can meet its obligations as they fall due to foreseeable future and have therefore continued to adopt the growing concern based in preparing the financial statements. However, as this funding is not a legal liability, the director has identified a material uncertainty that may cast doubt over the company's ability to continue and therefore its ability to realize its assets and discharging its liabilities in a normal course of business.
Yeah, so basically, I feel like you could get around this if you put it in writing, you put an actual pledge rather than just saying, oh, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's because it's not a legal requirability. If you wanted the actual assurances there, you sign something that puts the finances in there, and then surely these creditors and things wouldn't be concerned about anything, because there's been rumors about all of that, hasn't there?
It all looks like all the debt isn't actually on the club, it's on Chancery as a whole. It looks like there's no debt in the club as such, it's all on him personally, from what it looks like. But I think that makes it 100.
Hopefully that is the case, but it's unlikely
million.
That it's entirely that.
I think it's 140 yeah. million. It's unlikely.
There's got to be some. He's got to have got money from somewhere else for some of it. Yeah. So there's got to be interest somewhere. But yeah, we're on the right track in that. But it's a case of do you know what would be interesting if we find out if we've learned our lesson this year?
Yeah.
And we've actually we've gone up to the Championship and spent well and clever, but cleverly. We've not overspent. Yeah.
This year we'll have a payout for Sitco, which we'll have to know and keep an eye on.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see if anything was there with Darren Moore, if there was anything there as well. It's going to be interesting to see. I think this year's accounts are the one that I think I'm more intrigued by because of how everything's been. Because at one point he was saying that he could spend 37 million and not be and wouldn't be too close to FFP kind of thing. But then you've got, it'll be interesting to see this year to see that 2 million to the tax man, where that lines up in the accounts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we've got to say it's looking better on paper, and it all depends on what it ends up next year. Just no more throwing the toys out of the pram, no more tantrums, none of that, and we'll move forward and just see what we can do with that. Obviously, protests are still going off. There's still going to be all of that.
They did a big one at Plymouth. I won't lie, the van going past was very bright, very in your face, and I can't imagine it was cheap.
No, it's... Do you know what? I would never, even depending on which side you'd end up on taking sides, I would never diminish someone's right to protest if it's something they believe in.
If you want to protest, at the end of the day, I understand both sides. I get why people don't want to, and I get why people do. It's the same thing with the season ticket. I am not going to have a go at.
But it's also you can also be done with Chancery.
Yeah.
Without wanting to participate in the protests. And some people, I think what comes on the other side of that is some people are too aggressive on the other side. And I'm not saying actually the people who've organised the protests seem very calm. If anything, I've seen them getting some abuse.
It sounds like on the league game, they got a lot of abuse when they were just handing stuff out and stuff. And it's like, at the end of the day, it's a piece of paper and it's there. It's there for, it's not nothing bad in terms of it saying something bad to someone.
I've always said if people are doing something to try and make change and they're not weaponizing something for their own gain, then it's fair. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where if they want to make a difference with it, everybody's entitled to do what they want to do there. And I actually think it was quite an effective way of doing it. And clearly a lot of the fan base agree. Mm. A lot of the fan base probably in certain areas disagree. So it's one of those situations where either way, Chancery's got an idea that he doesn't have all that fan base.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
And he's literally got it on Sky cameras. So
yeah.
You can't be, it, nothing can be said for it. Because at the start of the season, we were done, you know, and we're still I'm still probably in the situation of like, he needs to sell. I am in the situation.
I am. Same.
Bluntly, he does need to sell, but it's a case of, I'm trying to focus on other things.
I'm trying to concentrate on what's going
otherwise
on.
Otherwise, you just get caught up in it
outside of it. Again,
you fondling your microphone. If that's on the camera, that's quite awkward.
I just found a dint in my pop screen. That's all. but it's that whole situation where wherever you stand on it, people who write to protest, they're allowed to write to protest. It's their right. At the end of the day. Don't have a go at someone if they're not buying a season ticket this year, or if they're buying a season ticket and they still don't, and they're still Chancery out. Yeah, I understand the take the money out. You kind of make it better, but I'm not gonna have it, say someone don't get rid of yerkapism. We had 2-3 years where we couldn't go. So I'm not going to let anyone like just have that. Just enjoy the football and let
things happen. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of having to go at someone, what did you make of Marvin Johnson's lead salute?
I don't know if he knew what he was doing. Honestly,
I really hope he didn't, because I've seen contradicting things. Because if he did, I don't understand why he would do that. If he knew the backlash he was going to get for it, like, he's not thick, surely. And it's not like
I don't think he knew what that was. I think he was
just. I've seen tweets saying that the Leeds fans were setting him up, and he didn't actually know.
Yeah.
And that's actually come from the Leeds fans, apparently.
Yeah.
However, it's not a good look, is it?
No. But you know what? Anyone having a go at Marvin Johnson, don't. He was frozen out of this team at the start of the season. He could have quite easily packed up.
I don't think it helped that he didn't play very well against Leeds.
Yeah, but at the same time, he could have quite.
I've got to say that side, right? Look at this, right? Because you should never send abuse to someone, but I was myself quite annoyed when I saw it, in terms of, I don't think he played that well against Leeds, and then he does that with a Leeds fan afterwards when there's links to him being a Leeds fan. When you add all that together, you're like, oh no, that's not good, is it?
At the end of the day, if he is a Leeds fan, he's a Leeds fan. He made a poor choice, but... I think this is the situation.
I mean, their success would disagree, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, true.
Unfortunately.
But here's the thing. If he did do it and he knew what he's doing, use your head a little bit, social media, all that kind of stuff, because they're going to put it out there. If you didn't know what you were doing...
Yeah, I just feel like he knew what would happen. That's why I feel like if he knew what would happen if he knew what he was doing. So I feel like he didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
In that regard.
He's smart.
Because to be honest, until they made that woeful badge that they've tried to forget about, I didn't even know it was really a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
So, yeah. Hello to that Leeds fan in the Talking Wednesday comments that always posts weirdly cryptic things.
Oh, Arthur.
I'm sure you're watching. No, I don't remember his name, but he always puts something very odd. Sometimes he's quite chirpy and we have a good chat, but sometimes this is very odd with some of the things he says.
Called Arthur, who was in mine and he banned now, but one of the things that we found really funny, because I found out from John the Birmingham fan, he said, oh yeah, he tried goating a Millwall podcast and it didn't end well for him. They all just like,
no, that didn't sound like it. Like, well.
And I remember he go to Millwall fans, oh yeah, like it was like 500 view of stream, and he was just his Leeds fan getting ripped by Millwall fans. Like, what are you doing?
We'll talk about contracts a little bit further out, because yeah. I think we'll do a whole episode on it. But a lot of players have been talking about how no talks are really happening, and the Ioffe has been saying how he's like settled and things, and the players are looking more optimistic to stay at the club, and like that they're optimistic that they'll get a contract. They'll see, but it seems like a lot of that is up in the air. I don't really want to go into it too much because I feel like there's so much meat on that.
I think it all depends on what happens.
Yeah, it does. And it's very much going to be that situation. So we will skip straight ahead to the weekend where we take on Ipswich Town, Jake.
Yep. These
78 points, third in the championship. Away form is 35 points. Home form is 43 points. Yes. And we play, them. At home, we play them away. Obviously, they're at home, where they have only lost one game.
Yep,
they've won 13 and drawn 4. And the last time they lost at home, funnily enough, was last week.
Yeah,
that's the first time they lost at home all season. So, am I lying? No, I'm not lying. It is the first time. No, I am lying. I am lying. For some reason, that score was read the wrong way around. When did they have that home loss? Let's have a look. I'm having a look. Why did it put it the wrong way around? Stupid document. Because I was going to say, maybe their defence would be a little bit breached and you start to have that wobble. But no, they lost at home. I'm having to go back so far. I feel like it's not relevant.
Let's have a look. Preston, I can't even
find
away.
It, man.
Preston, they lost away. 2-1. Was it early doors?
Hang on. It must have been. Where did they lose at home?
Let's have a look.
Because you know what's actually making me feel a bit sick as I'm looking at this? That there's a lot of wins.
Yeah.
You can see how their home form is solid.
They only beat up one.
Was it?
Well.
I honestly can't find their loss to...
Can I?
Must have missed it. Where's that written? Oh, no, that's the FA Cup. So they lost to Maidstone in the FA Cup at home.
They did. I can't find their loss.
I also can't find their loss. It's got to be there, though, Jake.
Yeah. To be fair, you know what?
Because otherwise, Jake, they've not lost at home. Okay. And we're playing them at home.
Let me try some.
They've lost in the cup twice. So they lost to Fulham at home as well.
Saying this lost one, I just can't find the loss.
It does say on the form guide that they've lost one at home.
Yeah.
Ah, yes, found it. It was against Leeds in August. It was 4-3 to Leeds. So it's a case of they won.
Here's a positive. All right, there is a positive. Bear with me here.
Go on.
Rotherham on the 20th of February had it a 3-3 at their place and they won 4-3.
Oh, I reckon we'll give them a game. If we can make it 5 games drawn at home for them, then that's a result for me.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's the return of Mass.
There was always a great player.
Yeah, I don't think George Hurst is playing for him. I think he's injured at the minute, which he could.
Yeah, I do believe he is.
I think the last time we played him at home, they only beat us 1-0. Now, a lot of change since then. I think under Danny's system, we can get it. I really do. And I think I've noticed when we're not...
But again, we shouldn't go in it expecting something. Don't do that to yourselves because there'll be a meltdown at the end. We said that there was a buffer for the Leeds and the Ipswich game because of what we've done around it.
It's 3 hits. These 2 games are 3 hits.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what I've got here, if we can go in with a draw... Or nick it at the end. Fantastic. Here's the thing for me.
We drew with them at home last season in League One. I know it's very different worlds.
Here's the thing for me. We said when we have a bunch of games back to back, like Tuesday, Saturday, we struggle, right? This is a game going into it where we've got a full week of training. There's no game in between, a lot more resting. You've got a full week off, 2 weeks off in theory. When you come back. In theory, when we play Swansea and Middlesbrough, which are back-to-back games, we should be fully rested and ready. And that's where I think I'm very confident that maybe, just maybe, there's a little glimmer of something that we could just pull something off.
Oh, I think it's well on. I'm looking at that every game now. I'm not just looking at our fixtures. I'm looking at teams around us. So it's a case of there's so much to play for in these last few games that we just need to go in every game with the intent to win and scrap for it. So, because the other teams are getting surprise results elsewhere. So the other teams have started to find their mettle a little bit. So we need to make sure we keep pushing. But yes, we will let you know about how all of that goes in a short episode of the Talking Wednesday podcast next week.
Yep.
Let's look forward to that. I don't know what I was going to say there. So I've just said something very generic. Let's move on, I think, is what I was going to say, to the end of the show, actually, Jake. Yeah. So you've got anything to add, that is all I've got for this week's episode of Talking Wednesday.
I think we just take this week as a free hit and just rest the players, get people back. Maybe having someone like a Windaff back soon could be helpful. Just to give someone like Poveda a rest as well. But the beautiful thing about the game coming up, Poveda can play. He was a missing part during the league game. And I think we just keep going and keep believing that something can be on and do it, because it's very tight down there.
Very true. But yes, guys, that's all for this week's episode of Talking Wednesday. Take care, and we will see you in the next episode of Talking Wednesday.
See ya.